So this morning, Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Again, we start in 15, verses 1 through 20. Let me read these first. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandments of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes in the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man.' Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch.' Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' And Jesus said, 'Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for, again, this time that you've set aside in a week. Father, we pray that you'll bless the preparation that's been done as far as this study. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be here with us and give us understanding. Father, give us insight. Show us how to apply the Word of God in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. An introduction from John Calvin, as I read, as I studied, obviously, his commentary on these passages. This is an introduction to this section. This passage teaches us, first, that all modes of worship invented by men are displeasing to God, because it chooses that he alone shall be heard in order to train and instruct us in true godliness according to his own pleasure. Secondly, that those who are not satisfied with only the law of God and weary themselves by attending to the traditions of men are uselessly employed. Thirdly, that an outrage is committed against God when the inventions of man are so highly extolled that the majesty of his law is almost lowered, or at least the reverence for it is abated. That's an introduction to what we talk about when Jesus talks about these commandments of men. And we hear Calvin's introduction. As I read that introduction, it talks about worship. That's the one reason why churches hold to what we call the regulative principle. Anybody heard that term before? Regulative principle, that means what? I mean, it's a fancy term that says this. Simply put, we don't do anything in worship that is not specifically prescribed in the Scriptures. That's what it means. That's what the regulative principle means. When it comes to our formal worship service, okay, when we gather and we call each other, when the pastor calls us to worship, we have a formal service that we are not to do anything in that service unless it's specifically prescribed in the Word of God. Do you see how that helps us understand this warning from Calvin about how we can get off track a lot of times in terms of our worship? He says, listen, God said how we ought to worship him. Do it. Don't add your stuff in there. And I think that's helpful to understand when we go through these verses about why we observe or adhere to the regulative principle. So let's go through these verses, verses 1 and 2. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash when they eat bread." So first, let's note that this team, this scribes and the Pharisees came from Jerusalem. So what we can assume is that this was a special delegation sent to investigate Jesus. It's much like the one earlier that we talked about, the delegation that was sent out to investigate John the Baptist. Remember, they had a team sent out. Okay, you got this guy. He's got these people following him. You better go out there and find out what's going on. So they were sent. So I think we can reasonably deduce that this was the same case here, that this delegation was sent to investigate Jesus. So they came to hear and see for themselves what was being said about Jesus. And so they witnessed something that they did not understand, and so they raised the question. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat bread. Very simple question. He says, Jesus, you and your disciples don't wash your hands before you eat. But notice they use the word transgress. They transgress the tradition of the elders. Now, transgression, the word transgression in biblical terms, it just simply means crossing the line, doesn't it? Transgress is to cross the line, and the line is the law of God. So a transgression is a sin. So they raise the point, or they accuse, or they ask, why Jesus and his disciples sin, because they didn't wash their hands before they eat. Now, the transgression that they accuse them of can be found nowhere in the Old Testament. So where does this come from? Well, it's the tradition of the elders, right? So the Old Testament lists many laws about how to be clean. They list a lot of laws about ritual purity. But again, nowhere, not one time, in the Old Testament is it mentioned that you have to wash your hands before you eat. The closest thing that we find is in Exodus 30, where it states the priests, if you remember, were required to wash their hands and their feet before ministering in the tabernacle. But that was specific to the priests, not to everybody. So what had happened over time, the rabbis had added to the law of God. They had created traditions, and they had added to the law of God over time. So they had taken the oral teaching of the rabbis and the scribes, and they had codified them into what they called the Mishnah. Anybody heard that term before? It's the Mishnah. That's what they, these oral teachings that have been codified and written down so that they could enforce them. Now, the Mishnah is where we see the requirement for the Jews to wash their hands before they eat. Not in sacred scripture. Okay? It's a key point. So Jesus and his disciples paid absolutely no attention to these requirements because he was making a point. Now, the traditions, what had happened, the traditions of man that had been created had been given equal weight to the law of God. That's why they accused them of a transgression. So they had taken teachings of men and they had put them on the same level as God. We have a problem, don't we? Big problem. Now, when we think about traditions, traditions are not all bad. I can't say that we can't have traditions. Okay, not all traditions are bad. We have many traditions in the church today, don't we? And most of them are very good. Traditionally, we have our worship service at 11 o'clock. Do we have to have our worship service at 11 o'clock? Can we have it any time in the day? Yes, we can. It's a tradition of the church. Again, is that bad? No. But that's an example of a tradition. So if somebody were to say, hey, we're going to start having worship at 11, I mean, that's okay. There's nothing in the scripture that says we got to meet at 11. So tradition is not bad. But the problem comes when we elevate those traditions. Traditions of men When we elevate them, we make them equal with the Word of God, then we have a huge problem. We play God, in effect. So that's the main problem that Jesus is addressing here. If you remember, one of the mottos of the Reformation was what? Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone. And I know that you've heard that phrase thrown around, but it is a tremendous truth of the Christian faith. Scripture alone has the authority to bind conscience, not traditions of men. We cannot take things that we create and make them equal with God. You remember what Luther said at the Diet of Worms? Just a famous phrase that everybody knows. Remember what he said, because this is one of the things that he's saying. Listen, Scripture alone affects the how we worship. And you remember this phrase, I'll read it for you. Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is held captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Scripture alone is what he was standing on. So, Jesus is addressing this issue. This issue of the religious leaders who have come up with their own ideas. And now they are accusing Jesus and his disciples of transgressing them. Verses 3 through 6. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Now, what is he talking about here? Let's explain this. So, they questioned Jesus, and he responds with a question. So Jesus is calling them out for a common practice among the Jews that happened all the time. And this was the practice that he was talking about when he says, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is a gift of God. Now, what's he talking about? That make a lot of sense, right, in today's terminology. We don't really understand that. So we need to dig into this a little bit. So the fifth commandment is clear. Honor your father and mother, which requires families to take care of the aging parents. Honor your father and mother does not apply just to children. Okay, that's the way we like to use it, right? We like to remind our children to honor your father and mother. That requirement does not cease to apply to me when I'm not a child anymore and outside the house. I am always to my parents, and forever, I'm always to honor my mother and father. And so this requirement of the family is to take care of the aging parents. Now, what was going on in this time? So, what was happening is Jews didn't want to do it. It's, for those of you who've done this, it's not easy, is it? So you can understand. It's not easy to take care of aging parents. Now, it's not saying, okay, let's just pause here just for a moment. The requirement, it does say, children are responsible to take care of your aging parents. Now, what does that look like? It looks like a lot of different things in today's world. Okay, and this time, there were no facilities. You're on your own. Take care of mom and dad. Now, today we have options. Okay, and so this is not saying today, listen, it's not saying you can't put your parents in a nursing home. That's not the implication here we need to take from this, okay, because there's options. Now, I know some people who are really diehard about this, and they, if they're able, you know, they're really, hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of mom and dad, you know, until I'm able. But we know it gets to a point where now we have other options. So don't take from this thing that, oh, well, I can't, you know, I've got to do it myself. Because, again, in this time, there were no other options. So we got to remember that. Now, for those like my brother Bubba and his wife, now they really took this literally, and they cared for her grandmother and mother in their home for several years until It was almost impossible. Well, they required 24/7. Somebody had to be with them. And that was not an option in their house. They couldn't, you know, they both worked. They couldn't be there 24/7. Right? But they tried. They really did. They did as hard as they could do until they couldn't do any more. So I think that's a, you know, definitely an option here for us today. So what is he talking about here? It says, what was a common practice is that the Jews would claim that any money they have or inheritance that they have from their parents, so they would say something really holy, and they'd say, listen, I'm giving it all to God. And when they said that, then they couldn't spend their, because taking care of your aged parents is expensive. Okay, it was expensive then, it's expensive now. But what they would say, they would have this practice where they would dedicate their money and their inheritance to the church. They're saying, okay, I'm giving all my stuff to God. So I don't have any money to take care of you, mom and dad, so you're on your own. You see, this is what they're that's what was common practice. So what was at the heart of the issue? They were trying to get out of their responsibility. That's the heart of the issue. And the teachers of the day allowed it. The religious leaders of the day allowed it. And said, that's okay. That's the issue that Jesus is referring to in this verse. He's saying here, your tradition allowed a violation of my law. Well, he said the law of God, but he's God. So his law. So, by this example that Jesus offered back, he answered the original question, didn't he? He says, listen, there is no law of God that requires us to wash our hands before we eat. We honor God's law, not man's traditions. That's his answer. He answered the question with a question. Dr. Sproul, in his commentary, mentioned an early appointment that he had at a Christian college. And when he got there, he saw some students playing a card game. And he went up and asked them, what are you guys playing? And they said they were playing Rook. And he said, okay. And he said, well, you know, we like to play bridge. Can we do that? And they said, oh, no. This is the only game we're allowed to play. Rook. That's the only card game they were allowed to play. And then he found there was a lot of other requirements that were required of the students. One, they couldn't go to movies. And the list goes on. And you probably can imagine some of the requirements. He didn't mention the college, and I don't know, but you can imagine some of the things that these students were not allowed to do. Now, when we think about all these things that you're not allowed to do, or you have to do, I'll quote Sproul here. He says, which is easier, to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit or abstain from movie going? Such traditions trivialize the kingdom of God and create a sense of guilt that has nothing to do with the Christian life. You see what he's saying here? These traditions that we create. Don't do this, do this, don't do this. Does it work? Does it produce a healthy Christian? Okay, some people can come through that and live healthy Christian lives, But I agree with him. They trivialize the kingdom of God. I completely agree with that. Let's move on. It says in verse 7 through 9, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So he's answered their question with a question. He's given them an example. And then he calls a spade a spade. He calls them openly and publicly hypocrites. And then he says, you, referring to the scribes and the Pharisees in his presence, were the exact fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy when he basically said they give God lip service. That's basically what the prophecy that he quoted here from Isaiah is, that all you do is give me lip service. What you say sounds good, but you haven't. Your hearts are far from me. They do all the religious things, but they care not one thing about actually loving the Lord and loving His law. And to make it worse, even to make it worse, they take the things that they invent, their traditions, and they elevate them and they make them the same as the law of God. Hypocrites. Verse 10-11. It says, "And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, Hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man." So what is he telling them? You say, teachers, religious leaders, that if I don't wash my hands before I eat, I'm defiled. I transgress the law of God. I'm unclean. And Jesus is saying here, listen, you can put all kind of stuff in your mouth. It's not good for you. But that does not defile us before God. Now, before you get too carried away, we are responsible for how we treat our bodies, aren't we? And this time, the food they ate, I'm sure they didn't have all the choice that we have today. I mean, I don't think they had Mountain Dews and Sprites and candies and all the sugars, junk food that's around. But they did have things that were clean and unclean, didn't they? As far as foods. But it didn't, remember that was a Jewish custom as far as what God had given them in the Old Testament, that was clean and was not clean. So when we see this verse here today, it doesn't give us license to treat our bodies and just fill it with garbage. We know that garbage in is garbage out. We know that. So we don't have license to just, hey, eat whatever you want, eat garbage, eat ice cream every day, and you'll be fine. We know that's not the case. We know that's not true, isn't it? You put garbage into this body, you get garbage out. You eat junk food all day long, you're going to feel like, well, you know what? You're going to feel like junk food, right? You're going to feel like garbage all day long. And remember, our physical health directly affects our spiritual health. Just remember that. Physical health is important. It directly affects your spiritual health and vice versa. Remember that. If you eat junk food, you don't take care of yourself, you never exercise, where's your energy for ministry? Where's your energy to actually serve God in this world? You have not. You're laying around all the time because you have no energy. You'll be responsible for that. So, Jesus says something very clear. He's saying, listen, you guys got it all wrong. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Then Jesus explained. So before Jesus could explain, the disciples asked him a question, right? So Jesus, he's getting ready to explain, but then he says in verse 12 and 14, it says, "Then his disciples came and said to him, Did you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." So these band of brothers came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you know you offended them pretty seriously." And Jesus' answer is, "Don't worry about them." Then he made the statement about his heavenly Father, what was planted and what was being uprooted. And you remember, we discussed that. You ought to be remembering about the parable of the wheat and the tares, right? That's what you ought to be thinking about when you hear Jesus say that. When you hear Jesus say, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." Think back to the wheat and the tares. What's going to happen to the tares? Separated, thrown into the fire. So Jesus says, "Don't worry about it." Then that famous phrase, "the blind leading the blind." So Jesus was saying, what you have here among these leaders is a complete failure in leadership. Now, We need to make a point here. We need to make a distinction here. Because when Jesus said, leave them alone, in other words, I know they were offended, but just leave them alone. Don't worry about that. We need to make a distinction because Jesus knows the hearts of the scribes and the Pharisees. And there is a difference between how we treat people and how we answer people. Okay, when they raise a question about something we're doing. Because there's two different kind of people, really, that will ask you these kind of questions. And so there's a difference when it comes to offending the obstinate, which is happening right here in this case. The scribes and the Pharisees, obstinate, stubborn, they didn't even really want to know the truth. And Jesus is saying, those people, don't worry about it. When your Christian life offends them, don't worry about it. They're stubborn, they're hard-headed, they're not going to listen anyway. But when we offend the weak, the people who were looking for answers, genuine answers, and they really want to know the truth, that's something different. Do you follow what I'm saying here? If we offend that person, we need to go to them. We need to seek, repent. We need to try to restore that because they're looking for answers. And you can tell a lot of times when somebody comes to you where they're coming from. You can tell, especially if you know the person already. You know if they're in this category with the scribes and the Pharisees, they're troublemakers. They don't even want to know the truth. You know them. You can think of some people in your own, you're thinking about it right now. Some people that you know are just obstinate. They have no desire to learn anything. Jesus is saying, listen, don't worry about them. But again, that weak person, the person who is genuinely seeking answers. If we offend them, then we've messed up. We need to seek them out and seek to repair that relationship. If they are offended by something we've done, we need to seek to restore that. Now, in verses 15 through 20. So, Jesus didn't have time to explain. They asked him a question. He answered it. So now Peter asks for clarification. Verses 15 through 20. It says, then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth are out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So, Jesus is trying to get them to see something here. The religious leaders of the day had put a lot of weight in external things. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Just like Sproul was talking about at that college. A list of do's and don'ts. That's what they have resulted or have reduced the Christian faith. It's a list of do's and don'ts. And the Pharisees were guilty of the same thing. They had reduced. They had made their own traditions that said, this is how you please God. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. And they had all these laws, all these traditions that are nowhere in scriptures. So Jesus is saying here, listen, you don't have a stomach problem, you have a heart problem. What's he saying here? He's saying that the heart is the source of all the evil thoughts of man. He says, and that's what defiles a man before God. So he gives us a list. These are the examples. What comes out of the heart? He gives us a list. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Issues of the heart. This past week, we had a terrible incident happen in Florida. Where did the desire to commit such an evil act come from? It came from an evil heart. So, it's not a problem. A lot of these externals, you know, trying to fix problems of the heart with external rules and regulations never works. Never works. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach him here. Listen, man's problem, it's not about what he eats or doesn't eat, whether he washes his hands. Listen, you got a heart problem. You need a new heart. James 1, chapter 1, verses 14 through 15 help us a little bit here. It says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Where do those evil acts, murders, adulteries, fornication, where do they start? With an evil thought in your heart. That's where they start. So, what's going to fix that? A whole bunch of list of rules of do's and don'ts. A whole bunch of laws. Is that going to fix that? Is that going to fix our heart problem in America? More laws? Absolutely not. Don't touch this. Don't watch this. Don't eat this. Don't go there. Don't dance this way. Don't all these things and so on. They never can address the real problem, can they? We all know this. We all know this. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can fix people's hearts. And that's what they need. Now, I've used this example many times because it's an opinion of mine that I think that this action, the way that the Pharisees had reduced the faith to all these rules, you know, don't do this, don't, all those things. I think that's one of the main reasons why we lose so many young people from the church, because we do the same thing sometimes. Now, pray about that. I think it's real. You know, when you raise a young person in a church, and all they know about church is, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. They want to stay with that? What happens? If that's all they know about church, first chance they get to make their own decisions about how they spend their Sundays, they're going somewhere else. You've seen it, haven't you? It's real. Jesus says we have a heart problem. We got 5 minutes. I went too fast. We have 5 minutes. Questions? Comments? There's a lot packed in these 20 verses. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Father, as we seek to honor you with our thoughts, Father, teach us what it means to live a life that is free. Father, a life that enjoys you. Father, that enjoys the church, enjoys worship, enjoys the fellowship of the saints. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.